نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. سورة بقرة is the longest surah of the Quran, comprising of 286 verses. It can be divided, if we look at it from the point of view of its themes and meanings, into three components. The first part of the surah is the prelude, which is from verse 1 to verse 39. And then from verse 40 to verse 141, it is another part of the surah which addresses the children of Israel. From verse 142 till the very end, it is the Muslims who have been addressed. I'll present in this particular presentation before you the second part of Surah Al-Baqarah, which is essentially addressing the Jews, the children of Israel, who have been invited in this surah to have faith in the veracity and truthfulness of the Quran and the messenger who brought this Quran, Muhammad, may Allah's mercy be on him. So when we look at the very first passage of this particular part of the surah, we find that the Almighty is saying, Ya Bani Israel azkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum, O children of Israel, O Jews, remember the blessings we showered upon you. Wa'ufu bi'ahdi ufi bi'ahdikum, and you fulfill the covenant that you have made to us, and we shall fulfill our part of the covenant. Wa'iyaya farhabun, and it's only us, it's only me that you should be fearing. Now, from this begins the part of the surah which is directly addressing the Jews and convincing them through one way or the other that the correct approach for them, the only approach of salvation for them, is to acknowledge and accept the Quran as the book of God and to do away with their biases and prejudices. So that it would be useful if I read out the first few verses of this passage. The Almighty says, Ya Bani Israel azkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum, O children of Israel, remember my blessings that I bestowed upon you, wa'awfu bi'ahdi, and you fulfill my part of the covenant, ufi bi'ahdikum, I shall fulfill your part of the covenant, wa'iyaya farhabun, and only me should you fear. وَآمِنُوا بِمَا أَنزَلْتُ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا مَعَكُمْ, and believe in the message which has come to confirm and verify your message which is with you. وَلَا تَكُونُوا أَوَّلَ كَافِرٍ بِهِ, and look here, do not be the very first deniers of this message. That is, the Quran you know clearly from the message, the books that you already have with you, the Bible, the Torah. This Quran is the book of God. Now the only thing that you are expected to do in view of the covenant that you had with God Almighty is that you must believe in it and acknowledge your belief before others that it's the word of God. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا, and look here, do not sell, do not compromise on my verses for petty rewards, for very ordinary considerations. وَإِيَّايَ فَاتَّقُونَ, and only me should you be fearing. وَلَا تَلْبِسُ الْحَقَّ بِالْبَاطِلِ, and then the Almighty goes on to ask the children of Israel that they should not mix the truth with the untruth. وَتَكْتُمُ الْحَقَّ, and do not hide truth. وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, while you know, knowingly. That is, you know that this book is the truth from God that has come to you, and yet you are hiding the truth, and you're doing it deliberately. وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةَ, the Almighty goes on to urge the Jews to establish prayers and to pay zakat. وَرْكَعُوا مَعَ الرَّاكِعِينَ, and you bow down along with those who bow down. That is, if you're going to say your prayers properly, if you're going to give zakat honestly and sincerely, you will do away with the inner inhibitions, obstacles that are erected by Satan that cause you to become prejudiced and therefore not believe in the truth that has come to you from God. So pray, give zakat, and bow down before the Almighty along with other people who are doing likewise, and you will find that the expectation of the Almighty from you is something that will become easier for you to follow. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ, Now, in particular, this passage is addressing the scholars of the Jews. And it says that, are you advising other people to be pious? وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنفُسَكُمْ And you are forgetting yourself. You are not applying the same principle on your own selves. وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابِ Even though you recite the book. أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ Do you not make use of your senses, your intellect? وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ And you seek help from patience and prayers. That is, the kind of prejudice, the kind of inner obstacles that you are going through in the way of accepting and acknowledging the truth, you will be able to only overcome them if you seek help from God Almighty through being patient and through constant prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِئِينَ Indeed, it's a difficult task except for those whose hearts are inclined. الَّذِينَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُلَاقُوا رَبِّهِمْ It's only those people whose hearts are inclined who have a very strong inclination that they are going to meet their Lord one day. وَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ And they have a very clear understanding that they are going to return to Him on a particular day decided by the Almighty. Now, this initial passage paves the way for a longer address of the Almighty to the Jews in particular. And the Almighty mentions many events, incidents in the history of the Jews to help them realize that they are not the kind of chosen people of God Almighty the way they think. The Jews used to believe that they have been chosen by the Almighty to be superior to the rest of the mankind, and no matter whatever they would do, no matter whatever their performance, the Almighty is going to make them successful, not only in this life, but in the hereafter as well. The Quran continues to remind them, especially in this particular surah, by quoting, mentioning events after events from the history of the Jews, that this understanding is seriously mistaken. The fact of the matter is that the Almighty is completely fair in dealing with all kinds of people, peoples of all nations. He's got no particular bias in favor of one group of people at the expense of others. So that the Almighty starts his address, the long address to the children of Israel, by this extremely strong and moving verse, which says, Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, Jews, Uzkuru ni'mati allati an'amtu alaykum, you recall the blessings that I bestowed upon you, وَأَنِّي فَضَّلْتُكُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ And the fact that I made you superior to the rest of the mankind. Now this superiority was in actual fact in the form of the prophetic mission that was given to the Jews. They were not superior in the sense that no matter whatever they would do, they will prevail and be successful in the eyes of God. It was a conditional privilege that was given to them that if they are going to abide by the instructions and guidance of the Almighty, they would be successful. And if not, they would face the wrath and the displeasure of the Almighty like any other nation. So that the Quran follows this initial address to them by this very strong moving verse which says, وَاتَّقُوا يَوْمَ اللَّهَ تَجْزِي نَفْسٌ عَنْ نَفْسٍ شَيَّا O children of Israel, fear the day when no soul shall come to the rescue of another. وَلَا يُقْبَلُ مِنْهَا شَفَاعَةٌ On the day when no intercession shall be accepted. وَلَا يُؤْخَذُ مِنْهَا عَدْلٌ No payment shall be accepted on behalf of a criminal. وَلَا هُمْ يُنْصَرُونَ And nobody is going to be, and those people are not going to be helped from the outside. In other words, fear the day of judgment, when the Almighty is going to deal with all humanity on the basis of pure merit. Whoever will have done a good task, pious, noble things in the worldly life, he or she is going to be successful no matter whatever the background or the lineage. And if a person belonging to apparently a good family, the chosen people, will have performed badly, then nobody is going to be able to help that individual from the punishment of God Almighty. That is what this surah is telling the Jews all along, that If they think that they are a special class, special group of people, no matter whatever they do, they're seriously mistaken. The surah goes on to mention in verse 62 something which is particularly important, not only for the Jews to remember, but also for the Muslims as well. And this verse says that the accountability on the Day of Judgment is not going to be made by the Almighty on the basis of nations, tribes, and family relations. It's going to be purely on the basis of one's faith, one's actions, and one's deeds. So that the verse 62 says, indeed those who are believers, that is the Muslims, and those who became Jews, and the Nasara, that is the Christians, was-Sabiin and Sabians, man amana billahi wal yawmil akhir, whoever believed in Allah amongst them, wal yawmil akhir, and the life hereafter, wa amila saliha, and did good deeds, falahum ajruhum inda rabbihim, for them is going to be a reward before their Lord, wala khawfun alayhim wala hum yahzanun, they will have no fear of the future, nor shall they have any grief of the past. Now this verse has been mentioned in on another occasion in the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and this is a very clear testimony to the fact that the Quran informs us that the accountability of the hereafter is going to be on pure merit, and your faith, your good deeds are going to be the only reason why you would be rewarded, and you will be successful in the hereafter. The Quran mentions a number of events, a number of historical events that took place in the history of the Jews, and keeps mentioning that on each occasion, when the Jews, despite their glorious past, despite the fact that they were children of prophets, when they committed mistakes, errors and blunders, when they violated the Almighty's norms, His instructions, on each occasion, they were punished by the Almighty. And the message is clear that if that is true, that the Almighty punished the Jews in their history over a long period of time because of their misdeeds, this in itself is a conclusive proof of the fact that He does not consider the Jews to be above board, to be above law. They too, like others, are humans and are going to be dealt with in this life as well as in the hereafter on the basis of their performance. So that we are informed that in verse 74, that because of a certain misdeeds that the Jews committed over and over again, it so happened that their hearts got hardened and they were deprived of the true feeling of God, of religiosity, and the true inclination of fearing God that a human has in his mind, in his heart, in his soul. And the Quran goes on to describe in a moving way that because of the misdeeds committed by the Jews, ثُمَّ قَسَتْ قُلُوبُكُمْ, O Jews, your hearts got hardened. مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ, after all this, after you went all these acts of wrongdoings, after you deliberately violated God Almighty's instructions, your hearts got hardened. That is, this is what the Almighty's rule is. This is how He deals with all people, including you. فَهِيَ كَالْحِجَارَةِ أَوَشَدُّ قَصْفًا, and the hearts became like stones. In fact, they were even harder than stones. وَإِنَّ مِنَ الْحِجَارَةِ, indeed, amongst the stones, there are those لَمَا يَتَفَجَّرُ مِنْهُ الْأَنْهَارِ, from which emerge streams of waters. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا, and indeed amongst them, لَمَا يَشَّقَّقُ فَيَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ الْمَا, there are stones which break and there emerges water from within. وَإِنَّ مِنْهَا, and amongst the stones there are those, لَمَا يَحْبِتُ مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, which roll down because of the fear of God. But your hearts became even harder and they surpassed in hardness all stones, however hard they may be. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ, and Allah is not unaware of what you have been doing. It is because of your deeds that He has dealt with you in this life in the form of punishments and in the form of hardening of your hearts. And in the hereafter too, He is going to deal with you likewise in a completely fair manner. The Quran goes on to tell us that amongst the Jews, there were two groups of people. There were those who were scholars, and there were those who were non-scholars. And the Quran mentions about the non-scholars, the common people, as in these words. It says that وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ, and amongst them, there were some people who were illiterate. لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا مَانِيَا. They didn't know anything except their desires, their wishes, that they wanted to succeed in the hereafter. وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَظُنُّونَ, and then didn't used to do anything but speculate, but imagine. And the Quran goes on to condemn them, and the scholars who used to write their own verdicts, fatwas, to please the masses in a manner that they would feel that whatever is given to them is from God. So the Quran says, فَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا كَتَبَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ, curse be on them for what their right hands write. وَوَيْلٌ لَهُمْ مِمَّا يَكْسِبُونَ, and curse be on them for whatever they are doing. Now, the end result of this common man-scholar relationship was that the common man was given to be convinced by the scholars that they're not going to enter the fire. No matter whatever happens, no matter whatever their performance, they are going to be rescued by the Almighty because they are Jews. So that the Quran says, they say, لَن تَمَسَّنَ النَّارِ, fire is not going to touch us, إِلَّا يَامًا مَعْدُودًا, except for a few days. قُلْ أَتَّخَسْتُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَهْدًا, ask them, did you have a truce, an agreement with the Almighty? فَلَنْ يُخْلِفَ اللَّهُ عَهْدَهُ, so that the Almighty is not going to violate his undertaking. أَمْ تَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ, or is it that you are saying about God something that you do not know? In other words, you are fooling yourself by claiming that you are going to be successful in the hereafter and you're not going to be consigned to the fire of hell because you are Jews and because the Almighty has promised you not to punish you. This is something which is totally unacceptable and is baseless. The Quran in this particular surah, as I said, has mentioned the misdeeds of Jews one after the other to clarify to them that this worldly life is a trial created by the Almighty, which is completely fair, and no matter whoever the person belongs to, whichever group, he is going to be treated in the same fair manner as anybody else. And it is because of this that the Almighty ends this passage of Surah by telling the Jews, who used to take pride in claiming that they belong to a group of people, they belong to a nation who had mighty prophets and kings in their lineage. And therefore, this entire family is far above the rest of the humanity. The Quran says towards the end of this passage, the very last verse, verse 141, it says, تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ, that was a nation, the nation that you take pride in remembering and describing. That was a nation, قَدْ خَلَتْ, that is gone. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ, for it there will be reward for whatever they did. وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ, and you will be made accountable, compensated for what you did. وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ, and you're not going to be even asked about what they used to do. So that the Quran has clarified in this passage of Surah Al-Baqarah most clearly through mentioning the historical events in the history of the Jews that the life of this world is a completely fair trial, and that if the Jews have been given to believe in the last of the prophets because of what is mentioned in their books, they cannot bring the excuse that they are already chosen people to deny and reject that message. They are going to be treated by the Almighty on the basis of their performance. And right now when the Quran is being revealed, the one thing that is expected out of their good performance is that they believe in this message about which they know that it's from God, and that they acknowledge the fact that the bringer of this message is the messenger of God. To emphasize the same point, the Quran has mentioned from verse 124 onwards another aspect of the history of the Jews, which is particularly relevant to not only them, but also to the non-Jew Arabs as well. And that is the history of the great prophet Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Almighty tells us in the Quran and in the earlier books that it was Ibrahim alayhi salam who started this great movement of monotheistic religions that emerged as a consequence of his great efforts. He was the one who was conferred upon the status and the privilege of being the father, the leader of the believers, and a large progeny which contained a number of great messengers, great prophets. The Quran mentions to the Jews to help them understand that God Almighty, when He deals with people, His dealing is absolutely fair and based on merit. So that the example of Abraham, Ibrahim alayhi salam, has been given in verse 124 onwards. The Quran says, وَإِذِبْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ. And remember, when God, He put Ibrahim on test, بِكَلِمَاتٍ, with a few kalimat, with a few tests that he was required to go through, فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ. He went through all of them with flying colors. He was completely successful. He went through them properly. قَالَ إِنِّي جَعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Thereafter, the Almighty told him that I am now going to make you the leader of the mankind. قَالَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. And he asked, is it going to be true for my progeny as well, my children as well? قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ أَحْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. The Almighty replied that my truce, my agreement is not going to be applicable to those who are unfair, those who are zalim. In other words, the very beginning of the race of children of Israel, that is their great grandfather, Abraham, he was not chosen by the Almighty for no reason. He was chosen because he turned out to be completely in line with the Almighty's expectations, and he was put through a number of difficult tests, and he proved through his sheer sincerity and perseverance that he deserves to be in the status that was given to him later on by fulfilling and completing the tests in the best possible manner. So the message is clear. That is, if you want to enjoy the status in the eyes of God of Ibrahim alayhi salam, then, O Jews, you have to likewise make yourself acceptable, dear in the eyes of God, through your actions, through your performance. If your performance is not going to be good, there is no way you will be able to earn the pleasure of the Almighty. In fact, it's going to be absolutely the otherwise if the performance is not good, because the verse goes on to tell us that Ibrahim alayhi salam, he asked God whether status that he and his progeny family is going to enjoy, is it going to be meant for all his children? And he answered by saying, no, it's not going to be applicable to those of your children, progeny, who are not going to be fair, who are going to be zalim. And then goes on, the Quran goes on to explain that Ibrahim alayhi salam, along with his son Ismail alayhi salam, they went to Mecca, and there they constructed the Almighty's house, which is the Kaaba in Mecca. This house was constructed by Ibrahim alayhi salam himself. And the Bible, even though the mention of it has been attempted to be wiped off, still contains traces which clearly indicate that Mecca was the place where Ibrahim, along with his son, the elder son, Ismail, went, and they constructed this house for the worship of the Almighty. Now, this mention is to again remind the Jews that their book, their history, is a testimony to the fact that Mecca and the people belonging to Mecca are also the progeny of Ibrahim through Ismail. So that, like you are children of Ibrahim, they are also children of Ibrahim. You have gone into the race of children of Israel, and the people of Mecca and its surroundings, they belong to the race of the children of Ismail. And the Almighty's promise to send a messenger was for the children of Ibrahim, whether it was to be from the children of Israel or the children of Ismail, was something that was not clarified and specified. And the Almighty's own plan was that ultimately it was from amongst the children of Ishmael that the last of the messengers is to be sent. Now here is a trial for you, O Jews, that you have to accept him as the messenger because he has been sent by God Almighty. And if you accept him, you will succeed in this world as well as in the hereafter. But if you're not going to accept him as the messenger of God, then you will carry the blame for not only rejecting a truthful, correct messenger of God yourself, but you will also carry the blame for misguiding and keeping blind the rest of the humanity, because it is you, O Jews, who were made responsible to declare before the entire mankind that when the messenger of God comes, you let people know that he is the true messenger of God, because that is how your message, your book says, and that is how you yourself are convinced. So that this passage is, in a nutshell, declaring that the children of Israel are not the kind of chosen people who are being given to go through a trial where they are going not going to be treated fairly and equitably. God Almighty is fair, and he deals with all peoples and nations in accordance with pure merit. May Allah Almighty enable us to understand his book properly, and may he enable us to follow it as best as is possible.